Annyeonghaseyo, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Crash Landed on K-Dramas. As we know, with more people watching K-Dramas, we now have a thriving community. Today, we, Meenal, Sangeeta, and I, Poonam, are going to talk to two of our young guests from this community, Aurithro, who is an avid watcher of K-Dramas and is one of the most intrepid commentators around, and 14-year-old Imp, who is one of the youngest K-drama watcher that I know of. As you will listen, you will be impressed by her honesty, clarity of thought, and acceptance of diversity like we were.
Aurithro, Imp, welcome to Crash Landed on K-Dramas. We are so happy to have you today. We would love to get the conversation started. So this is our tradition. We always begin by talking, how did we get started on K-Dramas? So Imp, how did you get started with K-dramas, and what kind of dramas do you usually watch and enjoy? And what kept you going watching these K-dramas after you watched the first one?
You know, I got into K-pop first. So like, I was always into that phase, like, ooh, I want to watch K-dramas. But at that time, we didn't have Netflix. So like, once COVID started, that's when I started watching K-dramas too.
Why during COVID?
Because during COVID, we were all bored and my mom finally decided to like pay for Netflix, and we got Netflix, and that's how I started.
It's a pretty valid reason, Imp. I think if I didn't have Netflix, I would have done the same. We ended up taking Disney.
Netflix as a cultural ambassador for Korean dramas. We will come back more on that, Imp. Aurithro, I was surprised to learn that you have grown on the diet of Korean dramas. Could you just talk about how did that happen and why are Korean dramas so famous in Northeast, as you told me?
Initially, I did not know how the thing I was watching was known as Korean drama or like K-drama. I just happened to like know them as Korean TV series, and I used to just watch them. And it started around maybe when we were like 14 and 15. That was the transition period for like the teenage girls of my generation, because we actually don't relate to the Hindi content that we were watching on television. And in Northeast, you know, there's like a slight anti-Hindi sentiments, and a lot of the cartoons and things that we were watching and the anime that we were watching used to come in dubs, and especially the Hindi dubs, and we did not like relate to that. And so we started shifting to like more international stuff that were like that coming to us. Like, and at that time DVDs were a huge rage, right? And my sister had just like bought her first DVD set for my father, like with her first salary, and she had like bought a lot of DVDs, and among them there were like some K-dramas. So I was like, okay, this is cool. So that's how it started. And and I absolutely fell in love with Jung Kyung-suk. That is, he is like the first actor who kind of like, how does it, transmigrated Korea. He became a huge sensation in China, and he did a lot of stuff with IU. And so I was already in love with IU. So that's how like it started. And by the time I think I learned the name K-drama or like this whole K-drama, K-pop thing, I was already like 21.
Aurithro, you mentioned IU, right? And I learned a new term from Poonam when she was talking about you. Do you want to tell the listeners?
Also, your term for Jung Kyung, what is his name? Yeah,
Jung Kyung.
Yeah, what do you call both of them?
Waifu and husbando.
And what does that mean?
Waifu is something that is actually like being born of like a Western audience's perspective of Japanese anime. Japanese animes are absolutely adorable female characters. So there's like these male characters, they generally dub those female characters like somebody you absolutely adore as like a wife, like a virtual person you cannot marry. So she becomes waifu. The male characters they generally like, they become like husbando. It's more like husbando. So, and since in my case, I love all the genders. So like, I was like, I want a waifu also. I want a husband also. So that's how it evolved. So Jung Kyung-suk has been like a husband.
I always learn something educational from Aurithro. Every time she talks, she gives me some new term, and like a newbie or noob, I ask, okay, what does this mean? And there is actually some meaning, or she will tell me the origin of those sources. And I'm like, wow, this is educational.
So while we are on it, Imp, who are your favorites? Who's your favorite actor and actress in K-dramas?
In actress, I don't mind anybody, but actors, my number one favorite is Kim Bum. And then it's Song Joong Ki.
Have you seen Boys Over Flowers, Im?
Not really. I didn't really feel like watching Boys Over Flowers.
I like her. I like you. I like you a lot.
Oh, yeah, we do like you.
But Kimbap is somebody all of us also like here.
Oh, yes. Yes, yes. And actually, Kimbap has a lot of appeal with the youngsters is what I've realized. You follow his Insta or generally whenever there is his drama rushes that are coming in, right? It's all the kids and youth who really love all his updates. So they're like, hey, Kimbap.
Only Nina loves Song Joong Ki.
Only I love Song Joong Ki in this team, okay?
Exactly. I can join too.
I'm sure you must have watched Vincenzo and Law School.
Obviously.
But have you watched any of their old dramas like Descendants of the Sun?
I've seen Descendants of the Sun and that's how I started liking Song Joong Ki.
Imp, I like you a lot.
And for Kimbap, I watched Tale of the Nine-Tailed and that's how I liked him too.
Ah, I can understand that. Yes, he was quite good as Liran, right? By the way, Im, if you want to watch Kimbap as a much younger self, I would recommend Padam Padam. You may not find it on Netflix, but that's one drama you should watch if you really want to watch Kimbap as a teenager.
Aritro, I have a question for you. Because you've been watching this for 14, 15 years, and suddenly, you know, everybody has just opened up, the world has opened up to K-dramas in the last 1.5 years. Did you sit back and think like, what's wrong with you people? Now you're waking up to this. I've been doing this for 14 years. Did you get that little bit of attitude that I've already been there, done that?
I won't say been there, done that because my own friend group, like I have been trying them to like drag into K-drama since forever. And they just refused. So I was like, fine. I'm like, you're missing out. And finally, last year, they all got into it. And they started like bombarding me with memes. And like, and everybody fell in love with Hyun Bin because of Crash Landing into You. And I was like, I don't like his face. and which was like a kind of cultural shock for them because that is like, they are getting introduced into K-drama with him. And my kind is very much into, I'm very much into pretty boys. Or they have to be like, I would say like not manly handsome in that sense. So I prefer my Lee Jong Suk and Jong Kyung Suk and Kim Bum, of course. Like he is like a different creature.
Yeah, sorry to interrupt because you mentioned that cultural shock that you've seen your friend's face, right? That's another question I wanted to ask. Do you see, since you've been watching them for a long time and you've watched some of the older dramas also, do you see change or evolution in the way the dramas are produced or stories are developed or any cultural aspects of those? Do you observe any of those?
Oh, yeah, of course. If you see like works like Innocent Steps or like the early movie, what is his name? The hero from the Curator series, Park Min Young's this one, Her Private Life.
Kim Jae-wook.
Kim Jae-wook. Like he was like a very pretty boy in Coffee Prince.
Yeah, even Antique Bakery.
Yeah, Antique Bakery. And Antique Bakery is like an adaptation of a manga.
Right.
So that's how I found it. Initially, when the romantic dramas were happening, you see the perspective was a very male-dominated narrative. I don't know how to say it. Female desire was not catered that much. I actually like see it through the adaptations. This one, it is an adaptation of Intar Zura no Kiss. Because this is my first life, the heroine of that one, she is there. She plays a teenager, school teenager.
Jung So Min, Kiss, right?
Mischievous Kiss. That is like an adaptation of Intar Zura no Kiss, which has like a Chinese adaptation, which has Taiwanese adaptation, and they have a Filipino adaptation. I watched all the adaptations, including the anime, and read the manga. if you see the Korean version, it caters to a very, a very male perspective. Because, you know, the way she's pouting, the way she's dressing up, it's sort of cute, but it's a kind of cringe cute. But like over the years, like because more and more female creators are coming into K-drama, you get to see that like that male point of view is going away. Now it is totally catering into female desire because initially you would get the kisses like those like long for kisses like within like 4 to 5 episodes. Now the kisses get dragged to like 16 episodes. Sometimes there's no kiss at all because like the female desire is more about being wooed and being chased after. And it's more about emotional connect, which was not there in the initial drama. Like, if you watch the Marry Me, Marry, that one, like, they go on forever and ever. And that's, I think, one of the first one which was, like, starting to give you a female POV, because, like, they had, like, a, I think, a female screenwriter.
That had Jang Kunsuk.
So you get, yeah, that, yeah. Jang Kunsuk had watched everything now. Yeah. Like, I can watch him on mute. Like, even if he's not uttering any word, I will just watch him. I mean, he is somebody nobody knows about. Like, generally, what happens, like, the people who have come, they are, like, watching the latest stuff. So, and Jang Kunsuk was more in the 2010, and then he had, like, then he was diagnosed with bipolar. Then he took, like, a break. Oh. Then he was in army. So, like, he's one of the first actors who actually spoke about bipolarity and, like, made and did, like, awareness things about mental health and things. So he's very vocal about all this. Yeah. And right now, I think he wants to be a chef. So I think he went to Japan to train to become a professional Japanese cook or something.
Which is something Oritro has been fretting about, that he's not doing any dramas and learning to cook, etc.
He released his music video, which is entirely in Japanese. So I respect him for that.
Okay.
Because that is a language I'm learning. So that's like, okay, you're giving me new incentive to learn Japanese properly.
Don't worry, he's not listening to this, Oritro. You could have spoken your mind.
Yeah, I'm dying for him. Just come back already.
I want to go to Imp because she's so much more younger. What kind of genres do you like? Do you like rom-coms? Do you like action? Do you like mystery? What is it that you are enjoying the most about K-dramas?
I actually like all of them, but more into the crime thriller ones.
Which is your favorite one, the crime one?
I like Beyond Evil, and I mean, like, it also was mafia types, which was also like Vincenzo, and the stuff that leans into law too, which is like Law School and Lawless Lawyer. I liked all of them a lot.
Wow.
Imp is taking me back to my teenage days. All my friends used to swoon over all the rom-coms, and I used to think we didn't have great rom-coms when we were in school or college. So I was always shifted towards crime, thrillers, legal dramas, medical dramas. And now I've got back to rom-coms. So very interesting. Imp, I already like you a lot. Yeah, we have very similar tastes.
Imp, what was the first K-drama that you ever watched?
Oh, I still remember. It was My ID is Gangnam Beauty.
Interesting. And I haven't watched it. Sangeeta, you have, right?
Yes.
But it dealt with a lot of girls being insecure about how they look, and she undergoes plastic surgery.
It's an adaptation of a webtoon.
Right. It's an adaptation of a webtoon and a commentary on the whole plastic surgery, cosmetic surgery industry in Korea, and how conscious girls are made even from in their high school days. I won't say that it goes in depth or whatever. It's not really a hard-hitting commentary or anything, but I think it shows very neatly, simple points it shows nicely in a drama, a high school setting, a love story. What did you like the most about it, Im?
Were there any aspects that you found relatable? Because we all find a lot of things relatable in K-dramas, given our age groups. But what is it as teenagers you're finding relatable in K-dramas, and why are you still, watching and hooked onto them?
Mostly it's either the insecurity or your studies that are relatable for us.
So have you watched any other high school dramas, Simp? The other dramas that you've mentioned, Vincenzo, Beyond Evil and all, they're more in the crime thriller genre that you talked about. So Gangnam Beauty is more of a high school college drama. So have you watched any more in that genre, like, say, True Beauty or any others?
Oh, yes, of course. I see everything, but I just prefer the thriller ones.
Okay.
But I've seen the high school ones. I've seen Inheritors, okay. True Beauty, all of
and
them.
What about Weightlifting Fairy? It's a huge favorite amongst the three of us.
Yeah, I absolutely loved that. That was really adorable.
We always say this. We like the fact that the focus of those three girls was not boys. It was food in that show. And they were not dolled up. They didn't change themselves to woo the boys. That's something we loved. What is your friends' views, or how do you all think about these things?
K-dramas are interesting for us either because it's like fun to watch or because of the guys.
We won't deny that. We also have same interests.
Thank you for being so honest, Imp. Thank you for being so honest.
Imp, I know you told me that your favorite is crime shows, but does the rom-com and K-dramas interest you? As in, is it interesting to watch adults taking about 16 episodes to decide that they are in love for your age group and for your friends? Is it not a boring concept?
I mean, I can watch them. I do like them. I'm not saying I don't. But like, if they keep dragging the whole love scene for that too long, I'm just like, yeah, okay, bye.
Yeah, that's fair enough. I hope K-dramas even listen. And thinking of a shorter.
My God, she's taken me back to my past. I should be like, come on, just tell the guy you like and get on with it. Okay, enough of this nonsense.
That's what I feel, because sometimes I don't remember which dramas, but there are a few. They drag it for like longer than needed, and I'm like, okay, fast forward.
Yeah, it happens. We've come to a conclusion that K-dramas should stop at 10 episodes or 12 episodes. That's where the story ends, and the next 4 episodes are just dragging the plot. So we are completely with you on this. Aurithro, do you feel the same? Because you've probably watched a lot more than we have. Did you think 16 episodes nowadays do justice to the plot, or they just have to cater to the television and advertisement and sponsor requirements?
I actually find it very interesting to spot the product placements. It is like how part of my college teaching thing, because I was in marketing. So I had to like find those product placements very fun, especially like in Goblin or Guardian, whatever version you call it. Like where they went to entire Minisu and they just kept buying things from Minisu. So my best friend Naomi and I, we just sat through the entire episode and we were like, we are going to buy this product. I personally like slow burn myself. I kind of watch rom-com as sort of research also, because I write extensive fan fictions which run for like 30 chapters, 40 chapters. So I have to do an entire slow burn thing where I also drag the first kiss to like maybe 10, 15 chapters. What I absolutely do not like is like this dragging around without point
exactly.
of action.
Yeah.
The last romantic drama that I watched was Romance is a Bonus Book, which was like very subtle and so soft in development, and it went so well. Even the first kiss, though, it came like I think in episode 9, but the development was so well done. From sibling kind of friendship, it became into like knowing each other and then understanding each other. So it is like a very well developed plot. But then I was getting irritated with Doom at Your Service in between episodes, because until I saw the last 2 episodes, I was not understanding what their end game was.
I'm with you on that. I gave up.
No, the ending is worth it. It's like, how does it's not the actor or actress's fault, it's more like the screenwriter's fault. The scripting was wrong, because like what the characters wanted and what was happening kept going around and around, and I was like, just get on with it. So I liked it because it was really slow burn, and what I absolutely love was the last episode, because it, like after Guardian, I kind of have become like a sort of skeptical about those last episodes, where they like they will give you like a chunk of happy ending, then they will like do a deliberate tragic ending. Like I absolutely hate the ending of Guardian, like a Goblin, whatever you call it. Like I just absolutely hate it. I'm like, there was no point in like making that tragic nonsense in the end. They could have easily made the guy a human and be done with it.
Exactly. I mean, we watch K-dramas because they warm our hearts. We don't want to sit up and watch 3 hours to have a depressing ending.
And I was like, the end goal of romance is happy ending. And I have become wary of titles like Youth of May or like Record of Youth. I just don't touch them because I know they're going to be in tragic endings. Especially, I have a very active Tumblr K-drama group, because I have international K-drama friends since age 19. So we like list things like, this is like going to be tragic, and we start betting which is not going to be tragic and is going to surprise us. So with Youth of May, like we are not going to touch, and they are like new members, so we're like, no, we are going to watch it. So we're like, go ahead, all the rest, watch it. So what happened is like when the tragic ending happened, they started crying, and then they started like circulating all those memes, like self-consoling memes about not all stories need happy ending and things, and we were like, nonsense, you are butthurt. That's why like now you're sharing all these memes. We're like, we know you don't like the ending, just stop this bullshit. Get out of the car. Like all the people we warned, and the Record of Youth is also going to be not a tragic ending, but a bittersweet ending. But nobody believed us. We're like, we are veterans in this matter. they just refused to believe us, and we were like, okay, all the best. And then Park Bo Gum and Park So Dam like actually separate. They were like, no, it's like a very realistic ending. I'm like, I don't want a realistic ending. That's why I'm not coming to watch it. I want a happy ending. I don't have it in my own life. So I need it on television.
Totally. Exactly. I mean, we'd rather watch a crime or thriller, just like how we were discussing, yeah, right? Exactly. Why even watch a rom-com? Yeah,
exactly.
It's a romantic comedy.
And like Imp, if most of us had our favorite genres in crime, thriller and law. These were things we used to watch, but they became too depressing. I mean, I've never watched rom-coms in my whole life. Gay dramas is my first deep exposure to rom-com, and that too, you tell me that it was going to end sadly. I'm sorry, yeah. Don't put me through this torture.
And at least Sangeeta, Poonam have read Mills and Boons and some rom-coms, etc. I didn't even touch rom-com books. The only one I've read is Pride and Prejudice. That's my rom-com ultimate, okay? And then I'm like, you're recommending rom-coms left and right, center to people. And they're like, what is wrong with you? We didn't know you like this for 20 years. What is wrong with you? So, well.
And at this point, the title. Are like, I think the titles are like a clue if you are going to get a happy ending or not.
True.
Yeah. I was like a bit skeptical. So yeah, with Doom at Your Service, because I was like, it might like go either Del Luna way or it might go Goblin way. So I was like, I would prefer a Del Luna way than the Goblin way. Because Goblin was a betrayal. So when it came to Netflix, Naomi and I, my best friend, we were like, yes, we are going to watch it. So we said through it, and like she was in Goa. So we like live streamed together and we watched, and then the final episode happened, we were like, let's just throw the laptops and the computers away.
Aritru, do you want to let the listeners elaborate on what is the Hotel Del Luna way ending and what is the Goblin ending?
Like a Del Luna ending is like, you know, the ending is not going to be a happy ending per se. Like they have, and they start implying from the very beginning that Jan Manuel is not like a good girl. And even the gods are basically tired of her at this point. Like she has been, she was punished like to be an immortal. Yeah, like 1300 years to like to rectify and think about like what her past deeds were. She did not bother with it. Instead, like she like spends money on drinking champagne and caviar. That's her life's goal. And she's like, I don't want to be poor again. Like this is like a thief, a murderer who has killed the king, who has killed the queen. So this is not a good character. She's like a horrible person from the beginning. And what is the boy's name? Yeah. Yojin Woo, and I have seen Yojin Woo when he was small. He was a child actor. So I was like, this is like first time I'm watching him as an adult. So I was like very happy about it. And his character is so stable. And he's also like, I love you, but you need to die.
I love this.
Game of Thrones. Game of Thrones redux.
Much fun than watching the whole drama.
Like, because, no, it's not like he wants her to die because like he wants to kill her or something. But he's like, it's like you need to move on. Like you have been like in this life for too long. So like let me be like that like healing effect on you. So he's like a healer character. And so he's like a very healing boy here. Like because this like there's no way Ayu's character is ever going to redeem herself. She has no interest. She has no interest in self-development. She's a terrible character. She holds grudges. She's very petty.
Yeah. And they keep repeating that throughout the drama, right? That she does hold grudges. She does hold grudges.
Yeah. Anything, her instant reaction is to stab people or like curse people. So like, and Sojin is like, yeah, it's time you go like to next life. This is for you. So I really like Del Luna. But with Goblin, you're being spoon-fed like fluff and fluff. So much soft stuff. It's like all cute things are happening. You don't see a foreshadowing for a tragic ending. And I was like, well, this is not what I signed up for.
And that too with you know, all the actors looking so gorgeous and the setting looking so gorgeous, they're like, oh no, how could you do this to them?
It's sunny and green the first time, and okay, like they had bad blood, it's okay like for them not to be together in this lifetime, but they get a chance a second lifetime. And but what is the point of killing her? Like this is like a child who was like born out of like accident, and then you're snatching her away. The moment they like said her like she's going to like meet another Grim Reaper at the age of 29, that's when we got wary.
Imp and Aritro, I have a question to you. Considering that you've watched enough number of dramas and there are so many actors and aspects that you've liked about dramas, tell me, if you were to be granted a wish to take something from any of these dramas, something or someone, I'll give you that choice too. So what would that be? So let's go to Aritro first. Tell me, if it could be anything, we are talking about like say some handbag that you really loved in a drama, shoes, like say Homcha, I really loved the shoes of Shinmina. So,
so the storybooks from It's Okay to Not Be Okay. I want those illustrated storybooks. I want all of them.
I love you, Aritro.
I'm an avid collector of illustrated books and graphic novels and manga and comics and stuff. So I need them in my shelf.
We have said this in multiple episodes and tweeted so many times. Exactly.
Sangeeta and I also collect graphic novels and mangas, and we also said that we would buy those books from It's Okay to Be Not Okay if they were on sale anywhere.
They're just gorgeous, and like every time I saw them, just give it to me. Just make a version and sell it for international people. Just give it to us.
I swear.
I mean, the books are like gorgeous to look at. Like every time I look at the like anything publishing related in K-drama, I'm just like, I'm so starved for this cover.
I swear. Even romance is a bonus book, right? That all bookshelves.
Poonam knows that, like, because I am from publishing, and I'm like, I just look at them and I just go like, give it to me. Because like, I'm a person. And like, how do I say it? Like, our Indian romance cover books are like horrible.
I totally agree with you. It's why I never read any.
I totally get what you mean. Yeah.
Nobody bothers with the aesthetics. Like, you can make it so much cuter. You can make it like, I mean, if your target audience is female, give us cute, give us fluffy, give us like beautiful. Like, if you see a Cecilia Aaron cover, like those romance and the bonus book covers were like that.
I mean, even the publishing office was so pretty. And the way the books were lined up, their library, I've said this openly. I said, I wanted to quit my boring career and go there and join a publishing house like that.
I would be willing to be a janitor in that publication
house. I agree with you.
I swear. Totally. I don't mind just dusting those bookshelves.
I would like wipe the floors, I would mop, I would clean, I would like do anything.
I swear.
Just to be there.
So Imp, what would that be for you, Imp? What would you want to take away from a drama? Like something that you want to take for yourself?
I would want Komon Young's outfits and Jungman Wol's money.
Very focused.
Awesome choices.
I like
how you think, Imp. What else do you want in life? You're set. That's all you need in life.
Oh, God. All right. Arithro, I'll begin with you and then input like you to think about it as well. And even if you don't want to answer it, I would be okay with it. Arithro, I remember you were pretty upset with Mr. Queen's ending.
I won't say upset. It's just sort of disappointing from a personal standpoint.
Okay, but you did like some aspects of Mr. Queen, specifically the representation of LGBT character. You like fluidity. Do you want to talk about it and also mention, are there any other LGBT characters or LGBT spectrum being done well in K-dramas? Because in my experience, that K-dramas are pretty scared to touch that. Or if they try to even cover a good example, there is a term, head fake. We're focusing on something else and then they insert the gay characters in between so that there is no fury or objection to it.
I won't say LGBT expression is that open in Korea because it's, first of all, it's a very Christian dominated country and the sensibility is very heteronormative. Even their pretty boy culture is a very hyper masculine pretty boy culture. Mr. Queen is also a remake of I think not mainland China, I think it's a Taiwanese remake of Transmigration series, and I think there were more characters like in the original who were like I think LGBTQ. And this one, how do I say? This one, like, when he is in her body, he accepts the female form, like, as it is. He's not trying to, like, deny it or anything. So what happens, like, this kind of opens the door for Mr. Queen to understand, like, okay, that he might be open to, like, the same sex. So, which is interesting because then they finally have sex and he, like, instead of, like, being disgusted by it, is more like, what did I experience? Like, something soft, very different from what obviously he has experienced in a man's body. So what absolutely irritated me in the ending was like, there was no closure for his character when he comes back to present. He just comes rushing back. I'm sorry, it is spoilers for the listeners, but like he comes rushing back and like he goes to the library and he like flips through the books and he finds out that the king has survived. So like, and like, because the K-drama has done this like multiple times where like characters meet, like meet cute thing, maybe not even meet cute, that open-ending meet cute thing where they meet in next life. I wish there was something like that with the king in this life. Like maybe he had like a crossing on like with the king somewhere on some street, or maybe not just glancing from one window or something. Even that would like make my own bisexual soul very happy. And I was low-key irritated that like the king apparently fell in love with the queen, but no, he did not fall in love with the queen. He fell in love in version with the queen who was like possessed by the soul basically. So he actually fell in love with this person. So if it is about falling in love with the soul, so why not give me that like little tiny open ending in present where there's like a tiny crossing with the king and some road and some street. They do it. They have done it multiple times. And as for LGBTQ, like, so there is like a subgenre of television making that is known as BL, boys love, which comes from Japan, has like taken over Taiwan, and Thailand is like the best producer of that genre. And right now, Korea has finally opened up to that genre. So there are like LGBTQ per se, like representation through those. So like if you have Wiki, you might see them. Like there's something called You Make My Heart Dance, The Light in Your Eyes and all those. So now they're opening up to two male protagonists. But that is like a very, but BL genre is very much for women. I won't say it's particularly for representation of LGBTQ. So that's there.
Any LGBT character that stand out to you that you liked?
There was this like a very tragic movie I saw called Flight Night. It was like about Korean bullying and like school bullying and how they treat the LGBTQ children. And that movie has like stood the test of time for me, because like every now and then when I have to like do research for LGBTQ stuff, I go back to that movie.
Wow, that's a good recommendation. Thank you.
Yeah, but you will cry, okay? So like be warned, it's like a very sad movie.
We like heartwarming dramas and tearjerkers, but that's like a sad ending movie, is it?
It's just like, it has violence, it has rape, it has everything. It is like very like scary. It's a very scary movie. It's like a full trigger warning movie.
Typical Korean stuff then. Korean crime kind of stuff.
Yeah, but like, how do I say? Like, generally, the rape when it happens, some of the dramas they like try to like make it off screen.
Right, they don't show it.
But this was, the violence was like, it was like there on screen. So it was...
But Korean crime movies don't shy away from sex violence and sexual violence at all. I'm amazed at myself that 10 years ago I could watch them without batting an eyelid. Not batting an eyelid, but I could, but now I cannot. I'm so glad that I watched these long ago and I don't have to watch them now for any reason.
Yeah, like now I also prefer to like stay away from them. This too much.
Yeah. Yeah. Is it the pandemic that has changed? Because that was my view as well. I've changed during the pandemic in terms of my viewing habits. I can't deal with violence or nudity. I don't want it. I just don't want to see it. Thank you very much.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. After a while, nudity becomes like, how do I say it? It's just nudity for nudity's sake.
Exactly. Exactly.
It's not adding anything to the drama. A kiss is better than sex any day on screen.
Precisely. This is what is, I think, shifting people to Korean dramas a lot, especially a lot of folks I'm following in US and Latin America are saying, we are tired. We don't want to see people strip. Forget it. Not interested. It's not adding anything to the plot. There is no beauty in it either. So what do I want? I want a good story and I want the build up, and I'd rather have just one kiss at the end of 16th episode, but I want relationships. And that is what is shifting people. And this is a very common narrative across articles, across people tweeting. People are getting fed up of Hollywood and the nudity and, how do they say, the male gaze.
The male gaze, yeah.
They're getting fed up of that. So yeah.
Imp, your turn to answer in case you have noticed any LGBT characters, anything that you have liked, and what is your general view about it? Anything you want to say is okay.
My favorite ones were in Nevertheless.
Ah, yes.
Two from Nevertheless. Right. That one, yeah, I really liked them. They stole the show from
me. Haven't yet finished the drama, but I've read the webtoon and some of the clips that I've seen, that they seem to show it very realistically. It's what I feel is a bigger problem with LGBTQ in most of the content that we see, is they try to show it to a straight person. It's like you're showing an LGBTQ with a straight view. If you're showing romance between two guys, they always try to show one guy to be very effeminate, trying to react like a woman, which need not be the case, right? So I feel Nevertheless handled it quite well that way.
The actual Nevertheless doesn't have any LGBTQ in the webtoon. So that is like a good take, I guess.
And that the relationship I have read in reviews has been appreciated a lot, by the way, in Nevertheless. Orethro, as FYI, hates the ending of Nevertheless because gay dramas in population have made a happy ending and they have kept that relationship.
No, not the happy ending. They have to ship the woman and the man together. That's the thing. The lead characters have to be shipped together.
But they're fine killing them and they're fine separating them in like a crash landing into you. But it's fine. time for these two stupid idiots to be like together, especially Nabi. Nabi needs to go back to college and study and finish a degree instead of like wasting her time on that girl.
I swear. Yeah.
That is my Asian parent coming out. Like if she was my Asian daughter.
But it's Song Kang, right? She can't ignore Song Kang and go for somebody else.
That's what I'm saying. It's a wrong cast.
Very true.
You will never cast Song Kang in that role, I think, which is one of the reasons why they had to feed into populism and they had to change it. Just simply wrong casting.
Correct.
Yeah. That is true.
But he actually looks exactly like the character from the webtoon. So, like, I won't say the casting is wrong. It's just, they did not make him bad enough. He's like a really horrible guy in the webtoon. Because the final straw in the webtoon is, like, when Nabi realizes, it's like, why it is not working out, is because, like, the character is, like, trying to get back to her again by having sex with her, just to dump her after sex. That's his initial plan in the end.
I was saying that they couldn't have made Song Kang's character too bad or make him look bad because of his popularity, his agency, all of those pressures. That's why I'm saying it is a wrong casting. I mean, he's riding on a popular wave of a good boy.
Actually, that was, in a way, I felt it was the reverse, because when I was watching the drama, I watched only till episode 3 and I was actually grossed out by Song Kang's character in the drama. In the webtoon, it didn't happen so much, because as you were reading, you could see that, okay, this character is getting somewhere. Like, you were reading the characteristics of his character and you could understand, okay, where this is going. But drama was like a shocker. After that, I was only reading tweets and comments on that and I was like, okay, this doesn't seem to be heading anywhere, so I just dropped it.
You got to 3 episodes. I backed off at first episode. I said, this is not for me.
Kim, what is your view about the main relationship, Han Sui and Song Kang's relationship? What do you think about the ending?
No, I do not think they should be, because Park Jun was not just user.
Yay, you're very smart and
your priorities are very good.
Thank you. The potato guy, he was a better person for her than Park Jun.
Agree, totally.
A 14-year-old had more sense than the drama makers.
Exactly, yeah.
Orutro had been telling me that how webtoon was very well done and they changed the ending of the webtoon in the drama and she was upset about
it. She goes out with the potato guy in the webtoon, finally. And this is like a recurring trend at this point. Like, where they're just like, they settle for like this like stupid guy who has like nothing to offer.
Just because Orutro brought it up, so this was not my original question, but Im, do you like love triangles or do you like to see more than one love story in a K-drama?
Oh, I hate love triangles. I hate them.
Yes, I really like her.
The main lead always anyways is going to get the girl. Why would they get another guy to treat the girl properly?
That I agree. But I still enjoy watching love triangles. I think of 3 of us, I'm the only one who still likes that.
She likes the girl being chased.
Like more than one man falling over women.
To me, it's essentially, why break somebody's heart? Why? Why would you want people to be unhappy? Let everybody find their own happiness. So.
But I like a popular girl.
Sometimes they give the girl to the second lead. Like, I think in Love Alarm, the second lead got like the girl.
Really?
Really? That happened?
I've never seen a show.
Actually, yeah, in Love Alarm, yes.
That's nice. Yeah. That's excellent. I have not seen a show where the second lead gets the girl, like not in the K-drama.
And the boys' love that I was talking about, the light in your eyes, it's like, it kind of like they start with very ambiguously. Like, so they're like, it's a love triangle between 3 boys. So initially, like, they tricked you into believing somebody is the main lead, but actually, like, he's the second lead.
Interesting.
So, but the main lead gets the guy, but like, they did it very well. So you keep getting confused who is the first lead. So they did that very well. The one second lead I absolutely hate is Inho from Cheese in the Trap. In the webtoon, he has absolutely no chemistry. He has nothing to contribute to the story except for being a pest in Sora's life.
I'm with you. Actually, Cheese in the Trap, I was very unsettled by that drama overall. So I don't recommend it to people at all. It was very unsettling. Even the main lead's character, everything.
Cheese in the Trap, the webtoon is kind of like a tale of a power couple in making. Jung's character is not a good guy. So he's somebody who is willing to trample people.
Correct.
Along the way if it serves his purpose. He doesn't have a basic empathy towards other people. Like, what he loves, he will protect.
Yeah.
But what is not for his concern, he will not even care about it. And Sora is kind of like that. And things like, once she comes in contact with Jung, like those characters in Sora gets amplified. She's just a well-functioning human compared to Jung because she has a supportive family. Jung doesn't have that. And that dynamic is so good. For like, for 300 chapters, we get that power couple in making. And Ino is like a, is like, how does a speed breaker in their life who has no purpose other than like, he's, his initial goal is to like take revenge on Jang, basically, for his hand or whatever the nonsense is going on with him. So in, when I saw him in the drama, getting like so much footage with her and all those like background music and air, like wind in her hair, and I was like, you go away, you have nothing to contribute.
Try to make him the right guy or the one who's going to support
he
her.
He was not the right guy, yeah.
And actually, there were a lot of flags in him as well. So it's a very tricky drama to watch.
Because he left his own sister, like who clearly needs help. Like she needs therapy and things. And he ran away from his own sister. So I was like, you don't deserve Sora. Sora is like a very sorted girl.
Yeah, exactly.
Before I met Sangeeta and Meenal, I actually did not know anybody. I didn't know that Oretro was watching K-dramas in so long, and I was desperate to talk to people. So I'm assuming that you do talk about K-dramas with your friends. I'm curious, how do young people these days choose what to watch next?
Before, we have a list of dramas we want to watch, or the popular ones, and we like, once we finish the first popular one, then we go to the next, because we're teenagers, all we want to talk about are the popular dramas. So if we've not watched them, it's like an insult to us. So the most iconic / popular ones, and then you go to the under.
But how do you know this is an iconic popular ones to watch? Do you web search, or is it a word of mouth, like some other friends tell you? Like, how do you know that this is a great one to watch?
Because of K-pop, I now have an editing account. So on that, I have many online friends. So over there, they're always talking about many dramas, and if I've not heard of them, then I know, okay, I need it to be on my list. Or like, I follow like all the TVN, SBS channels on Insta, and they update us about all of that. So I just make sure I watch that.
Wow, you're one really updated teen that I know of. And looks like Oretro and Imp, you both have like good online networks where you can talk about key dramas.
Yeah, I have an online presence because how do I say, when you are like a lone teenager growing up in a city where you don't have like internet access, and like you are basically a geek without any friends, so the first thing when you get internet is like you do is to make friends online. So my online friendships like run as long as now, like 9 years 10 years. You have to talk to people to like find who have like similar tastes, because when your own friends are not listening to you and they just like tune you out when you're doing jabber. So you have to go and look for friends.
Are you through all these online folks from different nationalities, or I mean, are they all over the world?
Oh, all over the world.
Okay, all right.
My first fan fiction friend is from Netherlands, and we have been like talking forever. Like she's like one of my real closest friend, and like another close friend is from like for my manga thing. He's a chef in UK, and he's like 10 years older than me, but we have a great rapport. And like my K-drama friend, she's from Japan. So it's like I have friends from all over the world. At this point, I can go in any country and like drop and meet them.
So one thing that I'm sure of, there is an audience waiting to discover us, Oretro, okay?
Sure.
Kim, how about you? Are you also in touch with online friends who watch K-dramas who are across nationalities and who are not just your, say, school friends or close friends? Are you also connected with such a community?
Yes, I am. Because of K-pop, I created a K-pop editing account, and through that, I've made a lot of online friends. And we always talk about that too.
I cannot scold you like Oretro, but I can tell you gently, do let them know about the podcast.
Sure.
Okay, I'm kidding. Is it okay to assume that the people who watch K-pop also eventually go on to watch K-dramas then, based on your experience of the group?
Yes, they do. Most of them do. Most. It's not the whole. Some just like sticking to K-pop.
Okay. That's interesting.
Not in my experience. Like because there's a junior of mine, she is like from my college, and she's like the little she's the president of a little BTS fan club in my hometown, and that girl, she had, because like I was one of the few people who had internet access, so like I used to like download all the K-pop songs and like things and give her in pen drive over the years. So I used to sometimes sneak her K-dramas as well. She was like, nah, Didi, I will not watch. She's only interested in idols and like BTS and things. So, and there are like boys in my group who would like open up to K-dramas. They would watch, but then again, they would not open up to K-pop per se. So I think it is like it is like they have to be open to it on their own, I guess. I mean, you can drag the horse to the water, but it has to drink on its own at this point.
So one question I had, Oriro, about generally when we are talking about any of these content, right, any of the dramas. So do you find a significant difference or any remarkable quality about K-dramas compared to other content, like say Western content, Indian content, or anything that you notice?
Oh, yeah. Like, generally, I just don't watch Western. I watch Chinese, I watch Thai. And I mean, like, I basically watch entire Asian stuff. So sometimes I watch Sri Lankan stuff also. How do I say it? In Indian, if you see an Indian television, like the television ones, not the OTT platforms, the Indian television, like, core content is, it's like a radio play that is going on. Four people standing in a space and just doing dialogue exchange. Actually, I've not watched a Western stuff for a long time now. I just watched The Chair last week and I was like pissed off with it. K-dramas are very good at doing individual stories and connecting them for a bigger picture, which is very holistic. And they don't shy away from like calling out their own institutions for being corrupt and things. But a Western drama is like,
right,
one man trying to defend the nation. Like the,
correct.
Even Game of Thrones, in the end, it boiled down to Daenerys versus Cersei versus Jon Snow. And they could not even do justice to neither Daenerys or Cersei.
Right.
And Western show is more like focused on shocking you. Like, I was trying to watch Euphoria.
Mm-hmm.
And Euphoria is like an HBO one. And Zendaya's character is like, she's 14, 15, okay, like her Imp's age. And you don't expect a child of Imp's age to be so depressed and like drug addict like that. And things are happening. And I was like, okay, this is too much. You're doing it for realism. And I think Western series and now certain OTT platforms in India are so hung up on this realism per se that they will,
exactly,
like,
yes,
and they will like give you, they will give you Gali Garaj and like nudity and things. It's like for the sake of realism and all this nonsense.
Green.
And but like, give me the story. Indian, it's all about story. That's why I kind of like The Empire.
Exactly. It's about the storytelling, right? How you tell the story.
Yeah.
K-dramas do a very good job, yeah, of telling you the exact story. What they want.
Yeah, same with the Chinese, yeah, things. Like, even if the Chinese, and the Chinese censorship is like, how does it's like really scary censorship. But even like, because like Danmeis are novels, like Chinese LBG, not LBGT novels, it's like about male protagonist loves, like same-sex loves. Story novels, they get adapted into Chinese television series a lot. So obviously they cannot show you kiss, they cannot show you hand holding and things properly, but the way they develop that whole metaphorical and the like an imagery language, like if you of honor, it's like 37 episodes, it's on Wiki. Like the way the character of Vacation and Zhao Zixu are like talking, it's like a married couple. Like they're not even saying I love you or anything, but the way the language develops, so you actually don't need that shocking value or the nudity value of Western drama. And if you watch Thai dramas is like very open to sex and things, but even they do it like for a story, like they do it for the purpose of the story. But Western drama, I'm just like, at this point I'm irritated with them. And this individual versus the whole corrupt system thing is not going to work. Like,
and another thing we noticed and we keep discussing about K-dramas is that they show you multiple worlds, right? Any drama, depending on the setup, like we discussed so much about romance as a bonus book. So we feel that K-dramas do a great job of world building also, right? Compared to other forms of content.
Yeah, they tend to touch upon a lot of nuances, a lot of detailing. They go in deep into, even if they're talking legal or they're showing the prosecutor's office, they'll bring about all the characters together.
Yeah, and even the ones which don't have romance, like Stranger doesn't have a spelled out romance. But the chemistry between Cho Seung-woo and Bae Doona is like...
brilliant.
Like that partnership is so good. Like this, but if this was like an FBI partnership in a Western drama, the sexual tension would like drive the audience nuts. But there's no sexual tension in Stranger. And it's so good to watch. Like they can end up together, they might not end up together, but audience will not complain.
Exactly.
Korean dramas have destiny and Western shows have pre-meeting sex or something.
One night stands.
Yeah, even one night stand, like, you know, there are certain Korean dramas which are one night stand, fated to love you. I think she gets pregnant after one night. I have watched the Taiwanese version or the Chinese version. I watched a different version of it. But even then, like the development from that one night stand is done well.
So what is one fantastic reason for a fake marriage? A one night stand with a baby.
Yeah, like a fake marriage, like because this is my first life, has done very well.
Very well. Excellent.
Very well.
Yeah. But the reason that it starts is ridiculous. Like, who marries a landlord?
But I can relate. I can relate to it. I can totally relate to it. I would marry somebody who has a house because like paying rent is like it really hurts.
If you get married, I'm going to ask you, huh? Did he have a house?
With me, I will like, I will marry somebody who has a house at this point. Because paying rent is like, it's like a heart attack every month.
Yeah, while we are on this, what are your favorite tropes? Both Orithro and Imp. We would like to know your favorite K-drama tropes. Childhood connection or fake marriages, amnesia.
Yeah, I like the childhood connections one. It's cute.
Yeah, which is almost every K-drama.
Any drama that really caught your eye on that?
What's wrong with Secretary Kim?
That's one crazy backstory connection, right?
Very scary.
I was quite scared, okay, when they started revealing that those scenes. I was quite scared. I said, this is a rom-com. Why is it heading into horror genre?
The webtoon is much more scarier because like they keep flashing it in between. And because you're reading something fluff, fluff, fluff. And in between, there's a cliffhanger chapter of full of like hanging lady spider. And I'm like, it was supposed to be a romance.
And what's yours, Orithro?
My favorite trope would be fake marriage. I love those tropes. I absolutely love fake marriage.
You can get everything in a marriage and without really being married, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Thing is like, end goal has already been achieved. It's just like, what are you going to do now?
Exactly, the best part of it.
Our own society, Indian society, is so obsessed with marriage, you know? Like, and so this fake marriage thing kind of I can relate to because like, a lot of my friends had to get married like after dating 3 months, 4 months because their parents like just started doing a tandav nitya on their head. Like, I understand why they enter fake marriage. This fake marriage thing works in an Asian context very well.
I agree, absolutely okay. Agree to this.
Orithro and Imp, we're going to have a rapid fire. Imp, you can answer first, and Orithro, you can answer second for all the questions. What is the first K-drama you watched and how old were you?
My ID is 14. I was 14.
Marry me, I was 14.
What's one K-drama that you can watch over and over again, or at least you have watched some scenes of it again and again? Imp.
Law School.
Orithro.
Romance is a bonus book.
What's the last K-drama that you enjoyed most? Imp.
King.
The King, the Eternal Monarch?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Orithro.
It's okay to not be okay.
What are you watching now, Imp?
Hometown Cha-Cha-Cha.
Wow. Orithro.
I just finished The Witch's Diner.
Is it good?
It's on my watch list.
Yes. It's very cute. Some plot loopholes are there, but it's worth overlooking.
Imp, what is one K-drama that you would recommend for our listeners?
Vincenzo.
Okay. Orithro?
Mystic Pop-Up Bar.
Wow. Quickly, on the top of your mind, what are the next two dramas that you're going to watch? Imp?
Be Melodramatic.
Okay, one will do. Orithro, what are you going to watch next?
A Move to Heaven.
Oh, it's awesome.
Oh, both are lovely. Imp, I really like you, okay? I like how your tastes are so close to ours. I love this.
Has been advocating Be Melodramatic to anybody who would care to listen to her.
Anybody and everybody. Anybody and everybody.
I have watched Be Melodramatic. It's good.
I have two more questions on rapid fire. Which is one K-drama that made you cry a lot?
K-drama as in like cry, tragic cry, or like cry because of a frustration?
Any kind of cry. It could be heartwarming, that kind of cry also. Imp?
Descendants of the Sun.
Wow, you actually are like Meena. Orithro?
Goblin in Anger.
And which is one K-drama that made you laugh a lot? Imp?
Welcome to Waikiki.
Orithro?
Good manager, any day.
Thank you so much, Imp and Orithro. And thank you, Imp, specifically for so being so patient with these four ladies who kept debating and kept chatting way too much.
Did you enjoy this, Imp?
Yes, I did. I had a lot of fun.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That's all, my dear listeners. We are going to talk to more guests to share our love of K-dramas. If you have any suggestions and would like to join us as guests on our podcast, do reach out to us. Our contact details, email, Twitter, and Instagram handles are in the episode notes. Or simply leave us a voice message. The link is at the end of the episode notes. Until our next episode, anew.